The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Five Reasons Sports Network here, the latest edition of the Five Reasons Celtics podcast. We got me, your host, Bobby Krivitsky, joined by the legend himself, WEEI's Justin Turpin. Justin, how are we doing today?
Bobby, I am always great when I get to talk hoops with you, so this is awesome.
Always a banner day for me as well. Illustrious guest only, Justin takes the cake in that conversation. So we start with our reactions to what was a very challenging West Coast trip for the Celtics, at least more in terms of conference than geography. When you look at some of the locations, nonetheless, they've got to go through Minnesota and Houston on a back-to-back, then OKC. We all know what happened there. And that's really the one, Justin, we're going to lock in on. But they go 3-1 on this trip, capping it with a win against a Nuggets team missing Jokic and Gordon. What overall did you take away from this stretch?
Yeah, it was a great stretch. Like you said, a brutal stretch of opponents there. I mean, three of them are in the top four of the Western Conference. So for them to come out of that stretch 3-1, I think everyone expected them to drop one. It was just which one were they going to lose. And the fact that it was the Oklahoma City one, and you said we'll get to that later, the fact it was that one, I think, stung a little bit more than what, like, if it was a Houston, because I think that was the one with the big back and forth to travel. But I thought it was great. What stood out to me is their defense, because all month in December, Missoula postgame was facing all these questions about the defense and what's going on, why they aren't locked in on that side. And I thought they did a great job setting the tone defensively throughout this entire trip. And that's where it starts for the Celtics. They're at their best when they play well in the defensive end because it opens up so much for them. And they returned to that on this road trip.
They absolutely did. And to go through two teams that are built on defense, the Rockets in particular, and be able to look as good as they did on both ends of the floor, I thought that was a statement. And you're right that this team, they've talked about, and we got to lock in Jason Tatum after the Christmas loss. This team needs to take ownership. We need to look ourselves in the mirror. Some of that feels like it's the right thing to say when it's December, you're the reigning champions, and you recognize how talented you are. And you are, there's a degree, I think, with this team of we're waiting for the playoffs. But they also understand that you can't let bad habits build. That's why the regular season matters, because if you waste this time going into the playoffs, it will come back to haunt you. And so that's why I think that this stretch of not just talking the talk, but absolutely backing it up on a consistent basis for the most part, that mattered.
I think you hit it right there, too, with the habits, where in December, they kind of got away from doing things consistently with this team. And you saw it, especially after they lost to Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2023. They came back and really prided themselves on the idea of mindset and staying focused and engaged for an entire 48 minutes on both sides of the ball. Through the entire month of December, it was one or the other. Some games it was their offense that cost them games. Other games it was their defense. And they got back to that just for this trip. And I know it's going to happen at times. They are the reigning champions. Every reigning champion does this. They're not as engaged as they were the season before. It's just that's human nature. And Brad Stevens talked about it before the season that human nature was going to be one of their toughest opponents this year. And so far it has been. And everyone knew it was going to happen. Joe Mazzulla talking in the offseason saying how he wants the dot in between their eyes. Do you want to see it? Still, it's not going to do enough, right? They're trying to get healthy, and it doesn't help that people have been in and out of the lineups. But to see that they can get back to what they know they're capable of. And I think that's part of the frustration that was stemming in December, is they knew they can be much better, because we've seen it at times this year. It was just a matter of mentally getting to that point, because again, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So I think that was also a big takeaway from this trip.
And if you're going to pick a time for a dip, the holidays, December, it's kind of an ideal selection if it's going to happen, which it is. That's, like you said there, human nature. It comes with the territory, especially over such a long regular season. And, oh, by the way, context matters. The quote-unquote dip for the Celtics, still around the top of the league in most categories that you'll find. Certainly not three-point efficiency, but they did quite well in most categories, even with their play and their record dropping a bit.
I mean, for any other team, most other teams, an 8-6 month is perfectly fine. They're not going to have a meeting about it before they go on a road trip to kick off the new year, especially when they win by 52 the game before they take off. Most teams aren't really built like that, but this team knows that they have another level that they just haven't reached yet. And I think they know they're getting there. They're starting to get more healthy. You're starting to get a little bit deeper into the season where they're like, all right, now it's time to lock in. We've kind of had our time to coast a little bit. Not saying they were, because they weren't every night, but at times they were coasting. And now they're realizing, all right, we got to lock in. And I think they're going to turn the corner on that. And I will say, too, part of the reason the whole December is being like kind of was blown up a little bit is because the losses were at home. And that was something that last year they really prided themselves on as well, is taking care of business at home. They made it a point to really show out for the fans and not lose at home. And a bunch of those losses came at home. So that definitely didn't help.
Yeah, that definitely amplifies the noise, especially locally. And it's a perfect segue to the next topic that I want to get into quickly, which is home court advantage. I'm not giving the Celtics any sort of a crutch or an excuse if one of the reasons they go out is, even if it's a game seven, not on their floor. They've done that before and emerge victorious, like against the Miami Heat a few years ago. So to me, this team not having the one seed in the East is not that big of a deal to me.
I wonder if they talked about that too, like internally, very internally, the higher ups. Of course, they're not going to go out and try to not clinch the one seed, but they have to understand that that's a possibility. And so far, I mean, Brad Stevens has nailed it. Like, you look back at the beginning of the GM surveys and somebody picked the Cavaliers to win the East. You can't vote for your own team. Who was that individual? Brad Stevens. And look what they're doing. So they knew there was going to be threats and all the, obviously a lot of movement in the Eastern Conference to try to compete with Boston. I wonder if they looked at it, it was like, all right, if we don't get home court advantage, we're just fine. And you know, maybe it's a good thing, because last year the whole thing was that they weren't battle tested enough going in without home court advantage. And if they do win it all again, that certainly qualifies as battle tested, though they were last year too, but some people just don't understand that.
Yeah, be fresh, be healthy, and be playing your best ball at that time going into the postseason. If not having the one seed and home court throughout is more fuel to the fire, then that's a positive that's maybe more beneficial than being first in the East, where, like you said, a lot of these December losses came at home, and sometimes they take playing on the Garden parquet for granted in terms of what the end result will be. To flip it back to the road trip, originally I was going to make a segue about the Cavaliers. They maintain distance by beating the Thunder and go that way. Let's just get into it, Justin. That loss to OKC, what is your reaction from it, especially being further removed from Sunday?
Yeah, that's a tough one, just because that's the game that everyone had their eyes on. And real quick side, though, putting it on 3:30 on a Sunday against week 18 of the NFL was just a disservice to the game of basketball by the NBA. Like, all this ratings discourse, and they're not doing themselves any favor. That really bothered me. Why didn't do it Monday night or something? Like, there were so many alternatives. But the game itself, I look at it, it's like you played two bad quarters. That's what it was. I mean, this team is not going to score 27 points and a half ever again. I mean, this iteration of the Celtics. It's been 12 years since they did that. Also, I think another underrated aspect, and you hit on it a little bit earlier, is just their three-point shooting throughout the month. Or the Thunder game was the worst they've shot in the Joe Mazzulla era from three. They had never shot under 20% in the Joe Mazzulla era. They did it against the Thunder. So there was a lot going on there. And everything I look at with this team is in the viewpoint of it's a seven-game series. In a seven-game series, are they going to shoot under 20% from three and score 27 points in the second half? No, that's not going to happen. So I think certainly there's stuff to take away from that. And I thought that win said more about Oklahoma City than it did Boston, because it gave them a stage against it. Granted, they were on a 14-game win streak at the time and ended up going on a 15-game win streak. I think people understand what kind of team they are, but to do it against the reigning champs and the style they did and how uncomfortable they made them in the second half, I mean, that was a hell of a statement by Oklahoma City. But you know, come the playoffs, things are going to be a little bit different.
So for me, it's twofold, where the Celtics, it wasn't just how poorly they shot the ball from three. They were missing so many quality looks. I posted a montage of Jason Tatum's potential assists, which were 15, and only one of them actually got converted into a make. And I mean, so many of them are open to wide open, right? The other side of the conversation, Justin, and you can chime in on that bit of it as well, but the other side of it is, I thought in the second half, the Thunder and the way the game was being officiated brought out the worst in the Celtics, where they got distracted. I thought it took from their attention to detail. You see frustration with the lack of a call result in guys not getting to their proper spots, whether it's the corner or somewhere else they need to be, and what that does. And so to me, I thought they didn't handle the physicality of OKC well, and they were certainly a much more physical team in the second half. And also the officiating, again, it kind of took from their attention.
I like that you mentioned that officiating part, because I think this is something that isn't really talked about much with this team. There's not much that bothers the Celtics. Officiating is one that can really knock them off their track. And I think we saw that in Oklahoma City. And they had some missed calls for sure, but I think Oklahoma City kind of earned that because they set the tone with their physicality from the start. I mean, in the first possession of the game, they almost forced a turnover on Jaylen Brown because they're right up on his face. And they set that tone right away. So you establish yourself as that physical team and that intense team, you're going to get away with calls because that's how you play. So that's a shout out to Oklahoma City. And that's why they've been so good, is because how they dominate on the defensive end. And that's another thing too with the Celtics, is people are talking about the physicality and if that bothers them. And I don't think it's necessarily a physicality thing that bothers them. I think it's just maintaining it. And they've shown they can do that. But you look back, and the two games that come to mind personally are Oklahoma City and Orlando right before Christmas, two of the most physical teams in the league. And they've given the Celtics problems, but they had a 10-plus point lead at halftime in both of those games. They just lost the physicality in the second half. And I think that comes back to them just kind of coasting right now. In the postseason, I don't think that'll be a problem. But again, like you mentioned, it's all about building those habits. And right now, more often than not, they haven't responded well to physicality for an entire 48 minutes.
Yeah, that physicality manifests itself at both ends of the court. If you're not setting good screens, now you're not creating a numbers advantage, and the quality of shots you're creating, the overall possession suffers, and that plays into making it harder on yourself defensively. And we all know if you're not being the more physical team at that end of the floor, you're probably giving up a bucket. Maybe you're sending them to the foul line. So it's a problem. It definitely contributed to giving up 17 points off of turnovers. So that was another one where that's pretty high, especially for a team like the Celtics. And so these numbers point to, wow, it really took a lot for OKC in the second half, and Boston being at its worst in order for the Thunder to get that win. Also a phenomenal game. Sign me up for that as an NBA Finals. I'm in, Justin. When it comes to the officiating and the Celtics' reaction of it, do you look at that and say, hey, last year this team didn't allow that to get into their minds and take from their play? Or is that more romanticizing what happened a season ago?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen. I think also it did probably happen at times last year. Like, I'd have to go back, and nothing really pops off the top of the head, but I'm sure it did happen last year, because that's another factor of human nature. When you have all these superstars on one team, they all want the superstar calls. And in most cases, none of the Celtics get them. So you get the frustration because you always hear about the superstar whistle, which totally exists in the NBA. I'm not knocking it, but a lot of the players in the Celtics expect to get those calls, and then they'll be late getting back, whatever it may be. I just think it's more intensified this year, because last year, like you said, they did a much better job blocking it out, but I'm sure at times it happened. And that goes again to them coasting a little bit. Like, and again, it was so expected that this was going to happen, but I don't think it's a bigger problem than it was last year. I think it's just intensified because they're doing it a little bit more because they're not as locked in, which again is to be expected.
And then when it comes to the discourse has gotten so loud about Jason Tatum's usage rate that it's reached Joe Mazzulla. And he made an excellent point saying, hey, it doesn't factor in potential assists. So on one hand, he really knocked it. On the other, he acknowledged that we need Jason Tatum to be aggressive and all these things that I think the usage rate and the Celtics record being so dramatically impressive when it's over 30 and then it's something like 8-6 when it's south of that line. I think that those numbers and some things that Mazzulla even brought up acknowledges there is some merit to what this is trying to point out.
Yeah, for what Mazzulla said, I think he was dead on, because I think with terms of usage rate, you can't look at it as a short-term sample because of things like the potential assist. Like, you could be making the right play, making the right read, and either they miss the shot, or better yet, the person you pass the ball to passes up for an even better shot, which is what the Celtics offense does. It's built on creating these two-on-one advantages and creating open shots. So usage rate is a little bit of a slippery slope, but I do agree. At times, you need Jason Tatum to take over. In my opinion, I think he's playing the best basketball of his career this year, and it just continues to grow as a scorer in every area of the game. So at times, you need him to take over.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But also, I don't think just going off the usage rate is justifiable for one game because of things like the potential assist. I'd look at more like touches, like how many times is he touching the ball? How much is the ball in his hands? So I get it, and I think it is just more of a longer-term stat just because of things like that, because obviously across like a month, you're not really talking about potential assist at that point. It's kind of just like it is what it is. But with usage rate, you can kind of look at that a little bit of a longer span.
I also think, and feel free to disagree with me, you are Stat Masterson, so if you feel this goes another way, let me know. But I also think that when the Celtics are doing things right, that doesn't stand out to the same level as when it's the opposite. And so I think for the most part, Tatum even said this after the Nuggets game, they do a pretty good job of, okay, we're going to have one, maybe multiple advantages. And if it's a Porzingis duck in and he's got the hot hand and we're getting that repeatedly, keep feeding the big fella. If it's me getting switched onto a center, like for some reason, the one that popped into my mind is Milwaukee in a win at Boston where the Celtics just kept cooking with Brook Lopez coming out to guard Tatum or being in a drop and they're getting buckets after buckets after buckets. But when it's not happening and we see someone start to get a few points in a row and then not touch the ball or be involved in the offense, that's when we say, oh man, it's not as good. But for the most part, Justin, when we talk about usage rate and touches, I do think this team has come a long way in recent years in terms of getting the right person the ball.
100%. And you see, even with Joe, he leans into it. And Jason Tatum usually plays the whole entire first quarter. But other times, if Jalen has it going, he's not afraid to mix up that sub pattern. So they lean into that because they know they have all these advantages. Like, you have an extraordinarily talented roster. You need to get the most out of it because you can hurt teams in so many different ways. So it's tough to look at like one player's usage stats, like you said, because there's just so many other ways. And if they're all so unselfish that they're willing to give it up and just keep riding what's working. And it's worked for the Celtics. They won 64 games last year in an NBA championship. Like, they've proven this style of basketball works. And not every team can play this way, though. And I think when teams do learn to kind of rely less on one individual, look at Cleveland, for example. Like, they beat the Thunder last night, and Donovan Mitchell, what, shot 3 of 13 or something? He's not their main scorer anymore. I mean, he still is, but he's not their only scorer. They're not just strictly relying on Donovan Mitchell. Like, guys like Mobley have taken a step forward. So it's not just with the Celtics that this happens. Like, you need to get others involved, and sometimes you are better off, like, using the gravity of that player. They don't need to have the ball in their hands to make plays, and we saw that a lot with Jason Tatum.
Absolutely. And then when it comes to someone else who was phenomenal against the Nuggets, and yes, Jokic wasn't out there, but Kristaps Porzingis, it might have been the best game we've seen from him this season. I certainly think, and Scal said this on the broadcast, that it was the best first quarter we've seen from him, where they're feeding him right out of the gates, and he's aggressive. He's getting points at the rim. He finished with 25. He only attempted 3 threes and made 1. I think it speaks to what he was doing inside the arc.
Yeah, they had just no size without Jokic and Porter Jr. And you saw that with all the Celtics were getting downhill and scoring in the paint, and Kristaps really got that going. And you're just seeing him more comfortable. You're seeing him crash the glass harder, setting better screens. Like, he's just more active. And I think that was just going to come with him getting acclimated, or reacclimated rather, from the injury. Like, that's a big injury. And you go through all this rehabbing process over the offseason. You're traveling with the team because you just can't wait to get out there. One that really stuck out to me is just how bad he wanted to get out there was when they were in Brooklyn after the loss to Atlanta. Every time during a timeout, he'd go out and pick the ball up, pretend like he was shooting, because I don't think he's allowed to shoot when the teams are in a timeout, but he'd pretend to do so. Like, he just wanted to be out there. And now I think at times he's a little bit more cautious, where he's not as physical. Because last year, like, physicality was a question mark when they got him, and he kind of debunked that right away. He showed that he can hang with it and be physical. And now it's just him getting more comfortable and more reacclimated, and we're seeing that. So the more and more he plays, the better off they're going to be. And that doesn't even just go for Kristaps. Like, that goes for guys like Jaylen Brown. Drew Holiday's really turned a corner since he came back, because he's just getting more and more comfortable. And basketball rhythm's just so important, and these guys being in and out of the lineup has really altered that. And I think Kristaps is kind of the gold standard of that.
Yeah, Drew Holiday, 19 points, 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc in that Denver game. So certainly a great point there about what just having some time to address his shoulder and maybe keep his legs fresh. After all, this is someone who played in the Olympics and is in his 30s. That clearly did him some good. When it comes to Porzingis, he said after the game that he's about 80 to 85% of the way back. And a lot of that has to do with just getting his legs under him and his stamina and conditioning, his wind, all of that. But man, that block on DeAndre Jordan, that is not a little fella that he was putting his body on the line against and coming out and winning that battle. I think that spoke volumes about where Porzingis is at physically and mentally.
I couldn't believe a 36-year-old DeAndre Jordan tried to go up and dunk on Kristaps Porzingis. Like, that was shocking to me. But you mentioned the conditioning and getting his legs under him. I think him doing this at altitude said a lot, too, about where he's at. Like, that's a big part that the Celtics really didn't run from it. They all talked about how they're at shoot-around, getting their lungs ready for the altitude, because it is a big deal. And the broadcast did a good job really hammering on that. And shout out to Drew Carter, because he had a great line when Porzingis got hit. He's like, does that hurt more at altitude? That was great. But I think it shows where he's at. And I think he's really progressing. And the conditioning, it just comes back. And like, it's not like he was sitting down the entire time. Like, he was doing things, although he couldn't really run, was doing things to stay in shape. So I think 85% is a good number for him to be at, especially when he's left 4 games or had 4 different injuries since coming back. So I think that's a good place for him to be.
Yeah, we even had a little peek at the Auerbach Center when we would see him pushing and pushing, going through workouts, doing the most of what he was cleared to at times. And a lot of it was behind the curtain, but sometimes it was very public and out in front of us. So we know that he was trying to get back, trying to be ahead of schedule, and how much it means to him to be on the floor, to be able to stay that way and in the lineup and build off it and what it does for his conditioning, especially playing at altitude. That's got to help and almost be like an expediter to this process. I think it's why he came out of that game feeling so confident about what's to come, how close he is to getting back to his standard and playing like he did last season. The last topic we'll get you out on here, Terp, is when it comes to that second unit. Sam Hauser looked really good the other night in Denver, including the block. But do you look at this team and say they're going to regret if they don't make a move to add one more piece?
I do. Yeah, no, for sure. Just because when Sam or Peyton is off, there's just no bench scoring. They just have no scoring. And I kind of look at it and wonder if they regret not just eating the tax on Lonnie Walker, just to have that stability. And I know that's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, you should have just given him or paid the extra $10 million in taxes and brought him on, because I'm not the one cutting the checks. But just that stability that you would have had in, you know, he wouldn't have played every night. And I think that was known when he came here first. If he made the team, he was not going to play every night. And that's to be expected. But just to have a guy that you know can come off the bench and is a microwave scorer and can provide an offensive punch when guys like Pritchard or Hauser go cold is so important, especially with what Hauser's dealing with. Like, that back injury has been like bothering him all year. And to have somebody that you know and you can trust to come in and score, I think is important. So we'll see if they try to make a move at the deadline. Obviously, they're limited in what they can do. They're really only their trade piece is Jaden Springer, so they're really handicapped there. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were to give Lonnie Walker a call if they really feel like it's that big of a deal and that they're worried about the bench scoring. But again, that's easy for me to sit here and say when I'm not cutting the checks.
No, but you're right. I think that they could stand another upgrade. And I've waffled back and forth on this a bit. Like, I've even said on this live stream that this is an opportunity to get more on-court development for a guy like Jordan Walsh and even Drew Peterson with what we've seen. But at the same time, these championship windows are fickle between the impending ownership sale, the more punitive nature of the collective bargaining agreement, and then you look at factors like Al Horford's age and Porzingis' health. And I think you've got to take every swing you can. And so between the second-round draft capital that they have and Springer's contract, I think they are going to look to make a move. I agree with you. I think it would be a mistake not to. And so to me, I look at Lonnie Walker specifically, and Mark Stein reported right before New Year's that, hey, this is the Celtics are one of the teams that Walker's drawing interest from right now. So maybe it is. We clear Springer's money off the books. We bring back Lonnie Walker. I would just caution that a streaky scorer in an inconsistent role where the touches aren't great, I don't know how that works out, especially in the playoffs, but maybe it ends up being to the Celtics' advantage. He was great for the Lakers a couple years ago in the postseason. Another name that I've been really intrigued by, I'll give you two of them actually, Javonte Green. There's familiarity. Him and Jason Tatum are right. Good friends, so I think the chemistry factor that they rightfully guard against, what he brings to the work environment, I think you can check that box off. And he's become a much better defender since leaving Boston, and in a small role where he's just asked to mostly hit shots off the catch, I think he can do that. And a bigger guy with a similar profile in a sense is Torrey Craig, who would add physicality and two-way play in a smaller role that he'd accept.
Yeah, I do want to just real quick on your first comments on Lonnie Walker. I do want to be clear, like, just if they get Lonnie Walker, it's not like, oh, it's a guarantee, like, oh, he's going to come in and average 15 off the bench. Like, not at all. You're 100% right. An inconsistent scorer and an inconsistent role is tough. But again, that familiarity. And I also think the same thing with Javonte Green. And I was actually right when you said it, I looked at his numbers, because your mind immediately goes to the 3-point shooting, because in Boston wasn't a great 3-point shooter, shot under 30%. Like, that's not great. But you look at his last 2 years in the league, and granted, very small sample sizes, shot 37 and 36. That's league average, a little bit above league average. So it would be a good fit. And obviously, you mentioned the Jason Tatum tie, and you know, he would love to bring him in and have a chance for him to win. And obviously, Brad Stevens coached him. So Brad Stevens knows what he's capable of and what he can do. So whoever it is, it's not going to be like a big home run, right? It's going to be someone that probably won't even play a ton in the postseason. They're just there specifically for insurance, and that's what they did last year with Xavier Tillman, who did his job come the playoffs. When he was subbed in, he was a plus player, and everyone goes back to the corner three in Dallas in the finals. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for someone to come in and just immediately crack the rotation, because no one they get at the trade deadline or in the buyout market is going to crack this rotation. The top eight is the top eight. That's who's going to play in the postseason. But that doesn't mean you don't need it. So I think they are going to go out there because they need that stability, especially with the guys being in and out of the lineup. But I like the Javonte Green one. That's one I hadn't really thought about. I've been kind of always just going back to Lonnie Walker, because that's someone that was in the building already this year. They clearly seem to like, because they tried to dump Jaden Springer before the season, possibly to bring Lonnie Walker in. So I think those two are the ones that I would kind of focus on the most now that you mentioned the Javonte Green. Torrey Craig would be fun as well. I just don't know if it's a great fit.
Yeah, with Craig, we'll see. He was a name that I was monitoring last year and thought would work, and then he got injured. And I think that really played into maybe it was always going to be Tillman. He made more sense. I remember asking Brad Stevens about their interest in adding another insurance policy specifically up front behind Porzingis and Horford. And that's that ends up what they did along with Springer. You're exactly right, though. Can they strengthen the stay ready group? You're not joining right. that top eight. So if you can get someone who, especially feeding off the higher quality looks you get playing with a team as loaded as this and working off of guys like Tatum and Brown and Holiday and White, that person, if they can fill that role, and maybe it's not like Tillman did in the finals on the road in a pressure, gotta have it moment. So hats off to him. Even if it's just in an earlier round, like an O'Shea Brissett type of deal, where he helps them go on a 20-0 run in the first half, a 7-0 stretch in the third quarter to help put the game away. So if someone can just fill that and augment the stay ready group, that's all they're looking for here. But I'm with you, Terp. I think that it's an opportunity in a window that's too fragile not to try and take advantage and upgrade right now. Give yourself one more piece.
Yeah, and one more thing. You talked about the internal development. That is crucial, and that's why I think they're giving guys like Drew Peterson looks. I think Jordan Walsh as well. He's also on a standard contract, so you're going to give him looks. But you're not going to do that. You're not going to mess around with that come the postseason. You're not going to insert guys in just for the sake of trying to develop them. Oh, they played big, high-pressure minutes in the postseason. That's not what's going to happen. And granted, like I said, in the top eight is the top eight. That's who's going to play in the postseason. But you want somebody that could come in and potentially contribute, because Drew Peterson, unless they transfer his contract, he wouldn't even be eligible. And I could see that happening. I could certainly see him kind of having like what Miyash Kater did. Because he could get poached otherwise, because he's shown some flashes.
Justin, we'll get you out on this. The floor is yours to promote any work. You keep the lights on at WEI and wear many hats for them. So anything you got for us, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. You can read my work at WEI.com. Follow me on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. And every Wednesday on the Jones and Keefe program here at WEI, 12 o'clock.
He is Stat Masterson and the best three-point shooter on the Celtics beat. So be sure to check out his work and everything he does for WEEI. Justin, appreciate you joining us.
Anytime, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And that wraps up this edition of Five Reasons Celtics right here on the Five Reasons Sports Network.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.